All right. A ride on the nose Corvette.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Get to see it. Hello, and welcome to the Songwriter Showdown. I'm Dan.
And I'm Christian.
We host this mother.
That's right. Season one, this is the Songwriter Showdown. We're taking a Billy Joel hit, we're taking a Paul Simon hit, putting them head to head. Season one, all Ryman Simon versus the piano man, Billy Joel.
That's absolutely correct. Connecticut's finest versus the pride of Long Island. 10 long weeks. There can be only one at the end, brother. There can be only one.
Only one additional episode. Who knows?
Christian's really been lobbying for some sort of bonus episode. He wants an episode zero in there.
No, I want Zanzibar. If we're not doing Zanzibar,
he wants to do the epilogue episode.
He got to.
We'll see. Maybe we'll give you a very special season finale. A very special.
Hey, Daniel.
Yes, Christian.
What are the songs we got this week?
I'm glad you asked me that, because this week we're going to be doing Billy Joel's hit, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me, against Paul Simon's classic, It's Late in the... Oh, excuse me. Late in the Evening. It's not It's Late in the Evening.
No. And this is off the soundtrack for his highly regarded film, One Trick Pony.
Absolutely.
I heard it opens and closes the film. So, you know, there's that.
And it opened and closed the same night, I heard. Oh, just kidding. Before we jump right into that, I'd love to jump on over to the iTunes store where we've got some 5-star reviews.
Oh boy.
We've got a 5-star review from Bejeweled Lover, which is titled Brilliant.
Ooh, I love that already. They could have just left that and I would give you all the thanks I could.
I would have been happy with that too. But Bejeweled Lover goes on to say, who knew two songwriters could be so fascinating? Daniel and Christian, that's who.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bejeweled Lover.
That in there. And if you want to be read on the air, just like Bejeweled Lover, our buddy, our pal, go ahead and roll into the iTunes store, leave a little 5-star review, leave a little comment, and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You could leave us messages anywhere, really, and we'll read them on the air. That's kind of what we're doing these days, anyhow.
Email, tweet, Facebook, whatever.
Yeah, my Uncle Kim sent in a couple of rhymes for how to leave your lover.
Oh, I love this. Do you want me to pull up the other ones we got on Facebook?
Yeah, let's pull up a couple of those. We didn't get to do it last week. This is 2 episodes ago, if you want to go back. 50 ways to leave your lover. We're looking for some suggestions. Uncle Kim writes in with a, call the INS, Bess. That's very topical
these days. Hot button issues.
Hot button issues. Christian, what do we have over on Facebook?
From previously mentioned on the show, famous from the show, Roger Chavez.
Absolutely.
We got... Gunshot to the head, Fred.
Not
dark.
Bad.
Enters dark.
Absolutely.
And we got another one from him.
Oh, this is from Roger again. Double dipping.
Did too much meth, Seth.
I like that.
From Deani Lee, good buddy of mine. Hey, Deani. We have...
Hey, Deani, how you doing?
Cut off your balls, Paul.
it's really hard
not to go blue on these.
Everybody wants to go blue. It's fun, though. It's fun.
For my buddy Taylor... Shout out to Taylor.
That was weird.
I gave him a little kiss up to the sky. Hitch a ride, Clyde.
Ooh,
nice
hitch
and
a ride,
clean.
Clyde. That's nice. Hey, he keeps it clean.
Do you want to take this last one from Britt Anderson?
Britt Anderson, an old friend of mine. Suck another dick, chick. That's the proper noun, chick.
Love it.
Little known fact, I once had an uncle named Chick.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't hear a chick
anymore. It's not a proper noun. I guess, I wonder, I don't know how divorce works with uncles. You know, he's like, he was my uncle growing up.
That's my one-man show.
Then they split. Is he still my uncle? Or is he just the guy that used to be my uncle?
Whoa, never mind. That's my one-man show.
Yeah, his real name was Gary, but everyone just called him Chick.
That's great. You don't meet many of those. Also, you don't meet many young Garys anymore.
Thanks for joining us over on the Facebook page.
Yeah, thanks for participating. That was very fun.
I believe Paul Simon went first last week.
So let's hit a little Billy.
Little Billy?
Yeah.
Still rock and roll to me. The year is 1980. The album is Glass Houses.
Ooh.
It's a hot summer in New York City. What's on the radio at number one from July 19th to August 1st? That's right. It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. Welcome, Billy.
Whoa. The first number one that we've had on the show for
Billy.
Is that right?
I think it is his first number one.
In general.
I think it is.
Wow.
But I'm going to go on record as saying it is. Correct me on Twitter.
I love it.
Correct me on Twitter. I'll apologize on Twitter.
I run the Twitter, so I'll be apologizing.
I'll apologize. Yeah, so first number one hit. Way to go, Billy.
Again, feels like it came way later than it should have, but...
Yeah, well, you know, 1980... America's
ears are a fickle mistress.
Yeah, he could have had another hit, but we don't do that kind of research.
Nah.
We do laser research. We focus in on what we're doing.
That's a great way to put that.
It's Still Rock and Roll to Me is... It's a reaction to kind of like pop music changing into new wave and punk. And these other, like, new genres.
Yeah.
And all the people in the papers are writing about these new bands. But he's still saying, like, if you're not hearing it on the radio, if you're not hearing it, if it's not getting into your soul, then what does it matter, you know?
And he's saying this is nothing new. These people are still being derivative of the people that came before them, the a.k.a. Still Rock and Roll that Billy's talking about.
Yeah, and then I love this little bit from Howard Stern. You get a couple of New York boys. Is Stern New York? He's probably like Jersey.
I don't know. You know, I don't remember Private Parts as much as I should.
He says, "Sometimes the press gave me a hard time, and I like giving them a hard time back. Whoa. In my neighborhood, somebody hits you, you hit them right back." Anyways, if you're not familiar with It's Still Rock and Roll to Me, boy, you're in for a treat. Let's go ahead and take a little bit of it. From the moment this song kicks off, though, you know what it is.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you been hiding out?
That's Liberty. You know that's Liberty, sir.
Claps. Told you I'm a sucker for the claps. I also feel like something we talked about earlier, we have him kind of doing a conversation in the song. Absolutely. Between these two different characters.
Yeah.
It's like he heard our pleas from last week about, like, hey, give me those theatrics back. He hits us with it.
Yeah.
Saxophone solo and all.
Forgot about the saxophone solo.
Oh. Oh, my compliments to the chef.
Get him out here. Those toms. Oh.
Tight. Very tight.
I can't get my toms to sound like that. I gotta call Liberty.
You gotta give him a call.
1-800-CALL-LIBERTY.
He's gonna come out those, tune those babies right up for you.
Yeah, it's only $700 an hour.
Worth it. Do you
it
want
is.
That sound?
Yeah, I do.
Or do
want
you not
that
want
sound.
That sound?
I do want that sound.
He is really just the whole time just sniper rifle, just shooting them down this
Absolutely.
Whole thing. Talking to the press.
Oh, I can't believe we already made it halfway through that song. That's why it's a hit, though.
It cooks.
It's right under 3
it cooks,
minutes.
Brother.
It doesn't miss it. One thing I didn't notice before, Liberty is not touching that snare at all.
Whoa. Yeah, you just blew my mind.
He's just hanging out on the toms and cymbals, which I saw in the video that I watched,
yeah.
But I didn't put it together that there is. Where's the snare on that song? Exactly.
You look down, there's nothing there.
Yeah, he threw it out. He has a guy come out on stage, take the snare out.
Throw it into the crowd. He signs the skin, obviously.
Signs it. Liberty.
Throws it.
Liberty. He just draws the Statue of Liberty. It's shorthand.
I love it. he's the David Blaine of drumming.
Yeah, something I don't think I ever really put together was that this song is written like as a conversation with the press. Like, and I don't think I, like, you know, we've said it 100 times mm-hmm. or at least 5 times in the previous episodes.
Sure.
Like, when you really start to look at these songs, you start to analyze what's going on inside them. And, like, so I've always heard this, and I just always assumed it was just, the crowd making fun of him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, oh, welcome back to the end. But, like, you know, from what he's saying, that this is, like, his conversation with mm-hmm. the press. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm back with a new song. And they're like, another one from Billy.
Yeah, we know. We get it.
Absolutely.
I also think it's interesting, too, that he does, and again, getting back to the theatrics we were talking about and taking some chances. So he does his part of it, you know, what's the matter with the blah, 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 and then goes into the response from the press. And that's got a slightly different flavor to the audio. It's like almost through like a radio or something.
Yeah, and I think
really cool.
I think they achieved that effect by doing they're layering the tracks. I don't know if it's Billy Billy or is it the whole group that's shouting it back at him?
Oh,
you know, like I know that there's more than one voice there.
Yeah,
I don't know if Billy's one of them or if mm-hmm. it's just the boys in the band all got a mic. All of a sudden, the guy on sax has a vocal mic,
and they're all
doing
it together.
Welcome back to the age of Jive. Yeah.
I like the idea of that. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, but that's the theatrics. Let's go ahead and pick it up. Maybe let's try to grab a little bit of sax.
I would love to get some of that sax.
Let's get a little
low daddy.
Let's get a little saxophone. Well, you could really be a bold Brummel, baby. I don't know what half this stuff is.
No, I need a little glossary on this.
Absolutely. Give me a Farmer's Almanac from 1979.
Calling them out. I hear you, and I see you.
There it is.
There it is.
Hello, Daddy.
I'm a sucker for an off-mic scream, too. Like, if for this whole podcast, I was just going... Woo. You can cook bacon on that sax.
Absolutely.
That's how hot that is.
Yeah. So, I mean, this song is, you know, I love it. I can't say a bad word about it.
It's a hit.
It's my understanding that somebody had a little bit of a parody version of this.
You might know a famous song prankster, Weird Al. Weird Albert. He had a song called It's Still Billy Joel to Me. And it is basically just shots fired the whole time at Billy Joel. Just calling him out for, you know, just basically what the press is calling him out for, too, is like, they all sound the same after a while.
You know what's?
Can we splice in some of that?
I'll drop in just a tiny
just a
bit.
Taste.
Just a taste.
A little taste. What's the matter with the songs he's singing? Can't you tell that they're pretty lame? After listening to a couple albums, they all start to sound the same. So we tried to change the music style. That's a
clip we just heard. The press dissed Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Billy fires back at the press. Weird Al reiterates what the press said, but sounds more annoying while doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, throws a little accordion under it and you know, calls it a song.
I don't know. Like, I mean, Weird Al's got to make a living, obviously.
Absolutely.
My, this here Anakin guy. I got it. And I love Weird Al. I'm not trying to diss
no,
him.
No.
But it is kind of weird that, like, you're just saying what they said to inspire the song initially. You're not bringing anything new to the discussion,
yeah,
Weird Al.
I guess that's what the insulting part is.
Yeah.
I did have a question that I've posed for quite a while, and to me it is, what is the age that you introduce your child to Weird Al, but while doing the least amount of damage to their future? You know?
I have listened to extensive talks on Weird Al. From
did you see the TED Talk on Weird Al?
No. Mike Quackenbush.
That's fake.
No, the Master of 1,000 Holds, Mike Quackenbush. Bryce Remsburg. That's
these are all wrestlers?
That's at Twitter, at Bryce is right. He's a referee.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, these two guys will talk about Weird Al for days, and I
really?
Just listen. Yeah, they're just big fans. They're not. It's not a Weird Al podcast. Yeah. It just most things lead to Weird Al.
And I don't want to say, like you said, we're not too cool for Weird Al. I saw the Bad Hair Day tour.
Yeah,
it was an amazing show.
No. There's plenty of Weird Al. But here's the point that Mike has surmised over the years. It's been about 7 years I've been listening to him talk about Weird Al week in and week out. Weird Al only works if you know the parody.
Mm-hmm.
So, like he says, like the new Weird Al record comes out, and I don't know the songs he's referencing.
Right.
So I no longer am relevant to the Weird Al discussion.
Yeah.
Which is so, when you say, what age is it too young? Like, I know it's a funny joke, but your kids have to know the song. Like,
yeah.
Your kid has to come home humming Another One Bites the Dust. And
sure.
Then you're like, you want to take a wild spin on that, huh? You know,
they come in humming Living in America and all.
Absolutely.
You want to play them Living with a Hernia. And
absolutely.
You're like, oh, do you guys get this?
Did I hear you say Beat It? Well, you know, like...
I love the idea of a dad that's just kind of waiting slightly off screen just to hear like, oh, did I hear somebody say Beat It?
Yeah. Oh, that would be
what
too
if
fun.
What if we flip that on its head and talk about lunch?
Huh? You're going to love it. But back to It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. I think this is a genius song. It's a great, I think Billy plays his role perfectly in it.
Yeah.
He could have made a new wave song to try to appease everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which so many people make that mistake. He could have made the same old Billy Joel songs and, you know, just kind of fit directly into it. And what he did instead was he went all the way back to the derivative.
Yeah.
He'd made almost a doo-wop song.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was like telling them, shut up. Everybody's stealing from everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these clowns aren't doing anything new. Like, and here's how I'm going to prove it. Number one.
He does it. He lays it on the line, says, there it is. There's your single.
He wins it.
Yeah, I think it's a great song. I don't think, and at the same time, you know, like you were saying, I don't think it's very unassuming as a single. Do you feel that it's very different from the other Billy we've seen before, the Hitmaker Billy? Like, there is enough different, like you're saying, there is some distinctive things in there, but the idea is to not be that different, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's a Billy Joel song for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, time obviously makes it that. You know, if you draw a Venn diagram of where Billy Joel plays, you know, like the cabaret piano player, you know, the guy who's doing a shuffle, whatever, all these different, you know, the serenader, New York serenader.
The guy with the chip on his shoulder.
The guy with the chip on his shoulder. This is still in his realm. He doesn't step.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it, is that he doesn't step outside where he normally is. He just goes to one extreme. Instead of saying, I've
gotcha.
Updated,
yeah.
I feel like he's really just taking it back to, like, you know, I don't even think it is a doo-wop song. That was just the closest thing I could reach for.
No, I would agree with you. I agree with you. I think it's a banger for sure. It's a hit, and it goes to number one to prove that.
Next up, we have a little track from Paul Simon. Tell us about it, Christian.
We have Paul Simon coming with Late in the Evening. This is from 1980 off the album One Trick Pony, the soundtrack to his film, which we've mentioned. Mm. This peaks at number 6.
Ooh.
Which is pretty tight in there. That's in the top 10. Last time I checked.
Yeah.
What I will say before we launch into this is that narratively, I don't think there's anything kind of special or, you know, too interesting or new going on here. From start to finish, it is a song about a teenage boy dreaming about being a rock star, which is fine. That's all well and good. We all have the lovers, the dreamers, and me. But, you know, it's not that interesting. I'm sorry.
It's not captivating you, huh?
I don't think so.
I have two personal anecdotes with
this song. I love this.
But I don't, you know, one of them is, involves a gentleman by the name of Toons. You may have heard of him.
Yep. Fan favorite.
For those who are just tuning into my life for the first time, Toons and I grew up together. I think we met in sixth grade and went through high school, and then, you know, we hung out a little bit after high school, and then life's. But he always had headphones on and wanted to be called
it's
anything but Toons, but we all called him Toons because of the headphones.
That's
He'd be like,
fantastic.
Hey, guys, why don't you call me Snake Eyes or something? But Toons was the one that first, like, steered me towards this song.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, listen to this. And then he, he's like, something about the line about, like, stepped outside and smoked myself
with Jerry. Yeah, I'm going to bring that up later.
So
what I will say, just to kind of volley that, mm-hmm. I did say narratively, not really anything great, but, like, instrumentation-wise and musically, I think it is super interesting.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen.
Yeah.
Not a lot of snare there either.
No.
1980, throw those snares in the trash. What do they call those bells? Go-go bells? A go-go bells?
I don't know anything about that.
First thing I remember, I was lying in my bed. Couldn't have been no more than one or two. And I remember there was a radio coming from the room next door. And my mother laughed the way some ladies do. When it's late in the evening and the music's seeping.
It's a good song. It's catchy.
It's got a real blow daddy moment, too.
Yeah, oh, it's got a great horn line. That's what, you know, between that and the drums being kind of
like
as funky as they are. Ooh, a little cowbell?
Yeah, a little cowbell.
Some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groups, yeah.
Are we getting that Jay? Is that Jay coming in?
I think that's nice. Yeah, we're just sitting here listening.
I know, really. This is great for the listener.
Here comes it.
I was underage in this funky bar, and I stepped outside to smoke myself a Jay.
All right, let's drown it out there.
Both did a little guitar solo
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
What I love about that is, I know it's a kid imagining what it's like to be a rock star.
Yeah.
That moment is a kid imagining what it's like sonically. It's a kid imagining what it's like to smoke a J. Everything just gets a little funkier when you take that puff.
Yeah.
It's like,
stepped outside and smoked myself a J.
That's all you need.
I think the song paints, like, a great picture of just, exactly like you're saying, like being a rock star, sleep until 1 or 2 in the afternoon. You know, where I don't even know what town he's in.
No, and like, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't
it's
matter
universal.
That's what he's doing. He's just laying around. He does have a kid at this point. I wonder who's watching after the kid, but whatever. You know,
hey, you know what? He's playing underage. Well, no, he's underage playing in bars.
We're remembering him.
We're just having a
this
little flashback.
This is like 1962. Oh, this is the flashback montage.
Him. Remember. I'm sure if we watch the movie, it's all very clear. it's all very clear. He steps outside, smokes himself a J.
Remembers
a guy, it. A little thing.
I'm writing that in my head as we go. I think that song has an amazing groove. I think it's telling a reasonable story, too. I feel like you were dissing the narrative element of it at the beginning. Maybe I misheard you.
I don't want to say dissing. I just think it's very simplistic. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think we're so used to him giving us this like kind of verbose poetry and stuff like that. And now it's just, hey, I was a kid, I was laying in bed, and I smoked myself a J, and there's a radio playing.
But see, I think that's...
just like kind of looking around the room and going, a bottle of whiskey.
Right.
Chair. Frame.
If you take the Dazed and Confused, have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Like, so people who know film and storytelling can say this better, but like, I think that's so interesting that so much happens in that movie in one night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it begins like what? I don't even know. Like the end of school.
Yeah,
and like
I believe
at dawn.
So. It's been a bit. So
right, but I mean,
I'm
it's like 16 hours. And
yeah.
So much happens. It's only a 90-minute film or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and so I think this song's interesting in that respect that like it's taken a finite amount of time, one evening, and just telling you about it. It was seminal in his life for one reason or another. You know, like he's taken a very finite amount of time and he's saying, this is what happened. And that's it. It's late in the evening.
And this is where my story is.
And I blew them all away.
Horn riding that bell.
Oh,
riding that bell on the drums.
A blow daddy with riding the bell.
Yeah. A blow daddy with a side of riding that bell.
Oh,
forget it.
Those are my
jams. I'm full
for that.
You
taught me how to ride the bell, bringing it all back. Tunes.
Oh.
Tunes taught me about riding the bell.
He's a hero. He's a legend to me.
He is.
He's like John Henry or something.
It's always going to hold a special place for me. Mm-hmm. I was at a dinner party, and there was a band playing in the next room. You know, we were at like Tuscany or something like that. My daughter and I were in there just because she was getting tired of being in the room. They played this song.
Ooh.
Not
particularly
this
well.
Yeah, well enough. Yeah, I recognized it. And I danced with my daughter, like, who was, like, 3 years old or whatever.
Like no one was watching.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, it's always going to have a place in my heart for that.
Mm-hmm.
Shashi, if you're listening,
Shout out to Shashi.
It's Monday. We're driving to school and listening to this. That's what we're doing.
Shout out to Shiva, too. Don't let him feel
like he doesn't know what's going
That's
on.
That's true.
I put on the podcast and he's in the car. He just goes, Papa. Papa.
No Christian. That seems weird. Seems rude.
It's rude, not to mention
that. For the people that were playing that song in Tuscany, did they sub out Smoke Myself a J?
No, they hit it.
Oh, good for them.
You can talk about J's now.
All right. Hey, legalize it, brother. I thought they maybe like hipped it up, you know, Smoke Myself a Breadstick or something. Not too much fact-wise. What I did really like, you know, coming back to just the instrumentation being awesome in this song, drummer Steve Gadd devised the distinctive drum part. By using two pairs of drumsticks in each hand to give it that impression that two drummers were playing.
I love it. Shots fired, Liberty.
Super cool. Yeah. Step up.
Yeah, Liberty was getting all of the press.
Tom's this, Tom's that. Now, you know, throw a couple of drumsticks in my hands. Do you think that's... It says two pairs of drumsticks in each hand. Is that four drumsticks in each hand?
Then? No. It's two pairs of drumstick, one in each hand.
Got it. Got you. Well, that's disappointing. You know what? Maybe I'm not that impressed.
All right, I'm calling it. It's decision time. You like how I do that? You were already trying to go there. I just cut you off.
Yeah, he
was just about to say it's decision time, but I'm co-hosting a little. I'm with a capital C.
They got that in my jersey. Where you at? Where you at on this then?
Hey, tough guy. I'm going to come right into it. We did enough talking. It's still rock and roll to me. Wins this week.
All right.
Personally, Late in the Evening is a personal song for me.
Yeah,
I think it is a. It's something different from Paul Simon, which is fun. Like he's starting to do different things, and we're going to see that manifest itself, not so much in 82, but more in 86, in that he's moving away from what he's known for, and that's going to be interesting. But Billy Joel has written a song that is like, it's something worthwhile. There's a call and response going on. There's a different jam. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, it's, so for me, it's still rock and roll.
Yeah, it's
to me.
Derivative, but completely different.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's accomplished something that's very interesting. Having a hard time, as per usual. Here's my thing. So, you know, in the past weeks, I've been like, Paul, tell me a story here. Enough with the poetry.
Mm.
He's telling me a story, and you know what? I'm not having it.
Where's my poetry, Paul?
Yeah, now all of a sudden, I'm, you know, maybe I'm just a hypocrite. It's a fantastic song. Just, yeah, the instruments and everything, it's a fantastic song. Having said that...
I have a question. Do you think that Paul Simon is listening to this and that you're about to hurt his feelings?
Number one... Paul, he doesn't mean that. No, I clearly don't. Paul, I don't mean that. No, not at all.
Okay, I feel like you're...
I'm trying to vomit out my internal struggle for you guys.
Because that's
and gals.
That's what they love. Yeah, we have a lot of female listeners.
Shashi.
My mom.
I believe Diani sounds like she's listening. So, yeah. Having said that, everything you said about Billy Joel's hit is fact.
Mm.
And for that, I think I go Billy Joel as well.
Yeah.
I hate agreeing with you all the time.
No, but I mean, that's how it leads us. You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, when we agree and we don't have to argue, that also lets us know, like, hey, okay. Late in the Evening is, I think, my favorite Paul Simon song.
Wow, hands down, huh?
Right, but I still vote. It's still rock and roll to me because that's what you have to do in the Songwriter Showdown. You got to make the tough choices.
Absolutely, and it's week after week. It's tough week after week.
After week six, it is 3-3. Three votes for Paul Simon, three votes for Billy Joel.
Anyone's game.
Anyone's game heading into the final stretch here. We hope you're going to join us. Nope. I hope you stay with us. We're at the end of the
podcast. I hope you'll join us for this episode and then continue on.
Give us your thoughts on Facebook at Song Show Pod. Also on Twitter, we're at Song Show Pod.
That's
or
right.
Directly through email if you're not involved in social media, songwritershowdown@gmail.com. Oh, quick aside. You might find an interruption to your feed this week. We're going to switch hosts where the podcast is hosted. It should still be in iTunes, no problem. But you might see that all of them come up that you haven't listened to them. Go ahead and listen to them again.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Where can they find you, Dan? They know where to find us, but they can find you.
Where can they find me? I'm at AtomicsDan on Twitter, at AtomicsCafe.com on the internet, and I'm at Atomics Cafe in real life.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And if I understand correctly, the podcast will be hosted at AtomicsCafe.com?
Yeah, just snuggled into the regular site.
Okay.
Not to say that it's already free hosting. That would make us sound cheap.
No, nobody's saying that. Come on.
To be clear, we don't make a dollar doing this. You can't sue us.
Legally, we cannot make any money. You can find me, Christian. I'm at dimestorefilms.com and pretty much on all social media at dimestorefilms. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Love it. And as the tradition, the winner plays us out.
Billy, splash me.